Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Transcend Your Health. Today on the podcast, Heather and I have a slight disagreement on who has the best tip for those of you heading into your new weight loss journey. Ultimately, I think I won, but who's to say? Take a listen and you decide for yourself. Hope you enjoy the episode.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Transcend Your Health. I am your host, Erin Avery, and today I have Heather with me, and we're going to just jam out again as usual. So, Heather, what's up? What are you doing?
You know, same stuff. Getting always interested in all the, today when we're recording, it's the 6th, which is most people's official 2020 fitness plan start day. So I was at the gym this morning looking at all the people with their resolutions. How about you?
Was your gym crowded?
Not really. Actually, I went around 7:30. I think I got there. So it wasn't that crowded. 7:30 a.m.
Guess what? I got there at 7:03.
You're trying to, you're better than me because you got there 28 minutes. How far do you live from yours?
7 minutes.
All right. Well, I live like 23, so we were about close, but
7:03, I got there. It was not crowded. I was impressed, actually. I thought it was going to be a little more crowded than it was. And I went up to the women's section because I was like, I don't want to be around all these people.
Right.
That wasn't bad. Yeah. January 6th. I did a little story, Instagram story about that today.
What did you say?
I was just, you know, wishing all the people happy workout day.
Happy workout day. Happy. I have a little curiosity why people needed 5 extra eating and not exercising days. That's a lot. Like, it's one thing if it was like the 2nd or the 3rd, but I feel like the 6th, that's kind of a long time.
You waited a whole week.
Yeah, basically, right?
Just because it's Monday doesn't make it magical.
I mean, if anything, then the 1st should be the most magical, right?
I mean, yeah.
I don't know. Magical. We'll see. I mean, at 7 a.m., though, I think a lot of people are already having to get ready and go to work. I'll be interested because I work tonight to see how crowded the gym is.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see, ask Heather. You're Heather.
I am.
Ask Christopher. How it was. He goes at like 4. So here's what happened today.
All right.
Upstairs in the little women's area, just mind my own business because I forgot my headphones mainly too. And the lady started talking to me and I wanted to just like hurry up. I was on my last set. My rest period was like going overtime. And I was like, you know what? I got to go. I did this last set. Got to go home and clean my shower. I do have to clean my shower. I don't know why I said that. I had a chiropractic appointment. I could have just said that. But anyways, and I was going to turn around to go finish my last set. She goes, you clean your shower? Excuse me? Like, I literally was like, what? She's like, you clean your shower? And I go, well, yeah. She's like, oh, it must be like a tub shower. And I'm thinking to myself, am I really having this fucking conversation right now? And I was like, no, it's just a shower. And she goes, oh, I never clean mine.
Ew.
Okay, thank you. Because now I'm judging you. You have a dirty shower. That means you probably have a dirty kitchen, and I don't want to be friends with you. I don't want to come over. I don't want to use your toilet because you probably don't clean that because you think
it's... Because the water flushes it clean?
Yeah. Or the seat's probably dirty. You probably don't clean your dishes. I judge people by their bathrooms and kitchens. Is that wrong?
Well, I'll remember that when I invite you over. Yeah, deep cleaning before your arrival. Let's be clear, Mike cleans our shower, so I don't want to take credit where it's not due. But it does get cleaned. And yeah, we do have a tub shower, but it does, you know, it doesn't matter. I've had those before where their shower, like, it still gets, it's dirty.
Soap scum. Skin cells.
People do can build up in there. The walls. I color my hair. I know, shocking.
Yeah.
But
I was floored by that. I could not believe we were having that conversation. I was just like,
what was she trying to talk to you about before that?
Oh, she was asking me my workout, my leg workout. She's like, that looks really intense. And I was like, no.
Was it really intense? Did you have a really intense workout?
No. I did leg extensions, and then I did presses. I did the glute machine, your favorite booty builder. I did squats, and I did.
I have to come to your gym just to try the booty builder.
I love that booty builder.
I mean, why a gym would open without a booty builder at this point, or at least a glottalis.
A glottis?
Glottalis glute drive, a glottalis, also known as a nautilus glute drive. I mean, you know, same difference.
Yeah. I don't know. I did a lot of reps today. Maybe that's what looked intense.
Maybe she doesn't, was she using weights? Maybe like weights?
She's on a fucking cardio machine.
Well, there you go. That's why.
I am. Anyway, what are we talking about?
A whole podcast about women lifting weights.
Oh my God, I know.
Even though that's not the plan for the day.
The plan for the day is?
It is tips for weight loss. Now that it's 2020 and everyone and their brother is dieting.
Yes.
So what would be like your number one thing that you would tell a client for weight loss? Like what's the first thing you would do?
Actually, I was just thinking about how I was going to post this on YouTube, but now I just started digging in my ear and I thought maybe I shouldn't.
go ahead. I don't think anyone's good. They wouldn't have noticed unless you said, now I'm digging in my ear. Yeah.
Sorry. My number one tip, it's very easy. It's very just like, really, that's your tip, is just to know that you can't fuck this up.
Oh, so yours is like a positive mental attitude.
It is, because I think so many people are putting so much emphasis on, they do all the things at once. I guess maybe it's just do one thing. That's my tip. It's just to do one thing. Start with one thing. And if your one thing is like every morning you go to fucking IHOP and order, you know, the never ending pancakes and sausage and bacon to go, and you get a whole thing of it, don't do that anymore. Just like make your own pancakes at home. Or if you go through McDonald's drive through every single morning and you get an egg McMuffin and hash brown. And I just saw the commercial. That's why I'm thinking about that.
Are you hungry?
And the Coke coffee. I had part of a Wookiee today.
Again, brought to you by Wookiees.
No, seriously though, just one thing. Pull back on one thing. One thing that you know you need to stop, because everybody knows that they need to stop going to fast food restaurants every morning for breakfast, or stop going through Dunkin' Donut line every morning. Scale back. If you go 5 days a week, go 3 times now. Make two of your breakfasts at home. Just start small. Like, don't go all in at once.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a good tip. That would not be the first thing I make people do or I say, but to your point, when I started to lose 100 pounds, I started just by not drinking soda anymore. Cause at that point I drank Coke every day.
Yeah.
And I lost 25 pounds with that very simple change. I just stopped drinking it. And now obviously I'm never drink it. Don't even have a taste for it.
Yeah.
But if I honestly think what you're saying is true, most people have things that they want to change. The other thing about that is, depending on how much weight you have to lose, right? So at 100 pounds, it didn't take much of a change to see a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But now, it takes more drastic of a change, right? So the leaner you get, but those other changes are probably now part of your life, right? So I don't have to not drink Coke anymore. I've already made that change. So now it's a new change. So certainly if you're eating this, what sounds amazing, IHOP breakfast, which, you know, I have visions of people at their desk asleep at 9:45 after they've eaten this carb killing fat thing. it just sounds horrible, but good. They're, you know, like those are, you're right. Like start with like a small and also a reasonable change because you're, everyone comes into 2020 or the new year or the new Monday or the new month or whenever it is they decide their new birth year, whatever. And they come in and they're like, you know, because people are like, this year I'm turning 40, I'm going to do all these things now. Is that they want to, they like, it's like, okay, well, they walk 2,000 steps a day. They're going to walk 10,000 a day. They're going to never eat sugar. They're going to eat out only once a month. They're going to never drink wine. And it's like, okay, well, you walk 2,000 steps a day right now. You drink half a bottle of wine every night. You have sugar all day. You're not going to do these things. So I agree. Start with like a small, so if you're at 2,000 steps, try to make it to 4,000 steps, you know? Yeah. I'm harsher than you are.
Yeah, you are.
My first thing is tracking. I insist on they track because even not even for like a weight loss purpose, just an awareness purpose, just to start before I even change what they're eating or how many calories they're eating. Mm-hmm. I want to know what they're eating. And just a lot of times people just being aware, they make different choices, you know, but also constantly people say like, oh, I only eat like 600 calories a day, or I never eat, or I'm not eating this much, or I don't know, maybe some people really are eating very little. It just helps them like know what they're eating or how much something is. So to me, I mean, for weight loss, like if your goal is like, I need to get in there and I need to kill it in January and I need to lose weight, I don't know how you can really be that successful without tracking.
Yeah, I agree.
That's me. Not that anyone listens to me.
I don't.
The number one battle I have is
wait
to
a minute. It's because you don't listen to anybody.
I know, right? That's the problem. I do. No.
No, I agree. Tracking is huge. Actually, I think both of our things can go hand in hand. Because I feel like no matter where you are in your journey, whether you have to lose 100 pounds, 200 pounds, or you're just trying to lose those vanity pounds, there's right. always something in someone's debt. For instance, me, the fucking Wookiees, right?
Right.
Like, just put them away, Aaron. Just put them away till you reach your goal weight and then ham out on one. But I can't. I choose not to.
We love to come home from leg day and have a Wookiee.
Right. So it's like, I think it's being honest with yourself about what it is, if you can make that one change. Because there's still, like I said, people that have to lose 10 pounds that still, you know, insist on going out to lunch every single day with their coworkers, where maybe if you just made that one switch and brought your lunch and, you know, 3 days a week, that could easily, you know, take you down. And I think tracking goes with it as well, because then you do get to see, you know, the bullshit that you're eating, that drive through, you know, Chick-fil-A, whatever that is.
Yeah.
You know, you get to see what you're eating on your way to work, or if you go out to lunch every day, or just like sitting at home and you're bored and you decide to smash a few Oreos or something.
But right.
You know.
So it's bringing awareness to what you're doing.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I think if people would start being aware and mindful. I think also too with that is being aware and mindful about what it is that you're eating, because even if you start to, because like in the beginning, everyone just wants to go ham on whatever it is that their new thing is, right? I'm going to run every day. I'm going to stop eating sugar, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But if you're aware and mindful of those things that you want to do, because like you said, people are not going to give up their wine. I don't care who you are. If you're a drinker, you're going to drink. That's my biggest pet peeve. People say, oh, I'm not a drinker, but yet here you're on Friday night, every Friday night with a glass of wine. You're a drinker. Being mindful of how much you're drinking, or be mindful of that Wookiee that you're eating, in my case, right? I mean, you can still, I don't know. I guess because everyone is so into the whole, if it fits your macros and, you know, intuitive eating. What's the other one that people are constantly doing?
Not intuitive. I thought it was intuitive eating.
No.
Flexible dieting?
Huh?
Flexible dieting.
Flexible. Right?
Right.
What the fuck is flexible dieting?
Well, I mean, if it's done right, here's the thing, most people aren't ready to do flexible dieting or intuitive eating. Not if their goal is weight loss, right? If your goal is, those things are all doable, but we're talking about like for people whose goal is weight loss.
Yeah.
Because you can have a healthier life and not be focused on losing weight. But if your goal is weight loss, which most people that are like made a New Year's resolution or starting at the gym today or starting some meal plan or doing whatever, their goal is weight loss. They weren't like, I'm just going to be healthier this year. Because people that genuinely don't care about losing weight or changing their physique and just want to be healthier, they do that immediately, right? Like that doesn't, because they're not like committed to seeing some certain result. They're just trying to be somewhere healthier. I'm going to make some better choices. But these are people that have goals to accomplish something. Most people aren't ready to be intuitive eater or flexible dieter, especially because they're going to intuitively, they won't know the difference because they haven't eaten anything healthy in so long, maybe. Or they eat out, like you said, they eat out breakfast every single day. So, I mean, maybe to them, they're making the like healthier choice at the, you know, drive-through or whatever, but it's not the same. Like they don't have the skills yet. And it's not that you can't find something if you healthy or like lower calorie or weight loss useful, you know what I mean? Anywhere you really can, but how are you going to do that if you don't know what it's made of? Right. So like, how am I going to go to McDonald's? Let's say I really hate to cook. I'm not prepared. I'm hungry in the morning. McDonald's is my best choice because my job has like boxes of donuts or something every day. And so eating like more food for McDonald's is probably actually better for me than going to work, being starving, and then at 10 eating, slamming two donuts down, right?
Yeah.
But if I go to McDonald's and I never look at the nutritional information about it, never look at the calories, never look at the protein content, how do I have any idea what I'm eating?
Right.
So, I mean, I think like you have to, also let's be honest, it's a commitment. Like if you want to lose this weight, you got to commit.
Well, like, yeah.
Commitment. Because I was going to say, along with what you were saying, my second thing is, and it's so like abstract, but is consistency. Like you're saying, you can't mess it up, which you can. It's like a temper, you know, you made one bad decision, but you just move on from there and kind of learn from it. It's also just being consistent, like consistently making good choices, consistently going to the gym, consistently having enough protein, consistently drinking water, consistently getting sleep. Like, because everyone wants it in like 2 minutes, right? And I do too. We all do. Like that's not a judgment on people, because I feel it exactly the same way. Like I want to be exactly where I want to be like 2 weeks ago, you know? But it's that consistency that gets you there, and just being like patient. And because people are like have a what they call a good day or a good week. Like I've had such a good week, and they want to see this like insane change. Right. And it just doesn't work like that. Like it would be nice, I wish it did work like that for people, because it would be such a motivator, and then they would just stick with it. But it just doesn't work like that. Like one so-called good day doesn't get you to your goals. It's consistently making good choices, the right choices that get you to your goals. And it takes a long time.
It does. But I think too, a lot of people don't really understand what those good choices are, which I guess goes back to the tracking.
There you go. So I was right. I win. I had the best tip.
I didn't know this was a fucking game, but okay.
No, you win. I 100% agree with you. And I usually say that to people too, what you said. The other thing too is like reading the person. Some people are really ready to be patient and like just want it. And some people want to see the difference right away. And for those people that want to see a quick difference, I do think the tracking really helps them, because then if you make a goal, whatever it is, whatever your caloric goal is, whatever, you have a way to know, am I meeting it or not? Right?
Yeah. That's true. True, true. But now it's just more the fact, I think too, like, trying to find that, trying to help that person understand. So, for instance, one of the things I'm coming across more so is what is a macro split? Not necessarily the split as in, you know, eat this amount of grams per thing, but why do I, you know, why is this carb better than this carb? I hate saying better than, but, you know, like understanding their foods that they're eating, like, why is it better for me to eat an Egg McMuffin I make at home versus the Egg McMuffin I buy at McDonald's? Right. Like, I've actually had that question, not necessarily with the Egg McMuffin, but why is it better for me to try to recreate this at home versus going to get it?
Okay. Right? And what was your response?
More so the fact that they have more control over what they're putting into, let's just say, the Egg McMuffin, right?
Right.
More than likely when you buy, is my opinion, I could be wrong, but like when you're buying the Egg McMuffin from McDonald's, I don't feel like the eggs are really, I mean, I know they're real, but I feel like they're the egg beaters, which not as much nutritional value.
Right.
I feel like, I think even if you check on the back of it and like the Egg McMuffin, the muffins, like everything is so shelf stable.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a good choice if you're going to pick that over the donuts, but first of all, you save more money. But number two, if you make it at home, you can actually make an Egg McMuffin on a really thick bagel with two eggs, make your own like turkey bacon versus, you know, the bacon or the sausage that they have that's higher fat content, depending on what you're tracking, you know, and even maybe a slice of cheese and a little bit of mayo, and your sandwich be more nutrient dense versus that one little sandwich you get because you know you're going to get the hash brown. Right.
Right.
And you're, maybe two, because some people love the hash browns. So by the time you're done, right, you're almost 400 calories deep at McDonald's versus maybe 300 at home, and you get all the good stuff that you like on it.
Right. You plus know? Cost, right?
And cost.
You probably could make for like a week's worth of at home ones, you could buy like one or two maybe out. I don't know exactly. I really don't eat at McDonald's much, so I don't really know the cost.
But you might stay fuller longer, you know, it's
right.
Cause you're at home and you can sit down and eat it and be more mindful about it versus just shove it in your face on your way to work. Cause that never works. And you're just, you don't know that you're full. There's a whole bunch of things that go into it with making things at home.
Yeah, and that's a time commitment too. And there's ways around it if it's something you're not willing to do. I mean, you're also talking about something that's processed versus not processed, because clearly what they have at McDonald's is going to be more processed than what you make at home.
Yeah.
The thing I would say about it too is, I mean, there's those basics, like basic weight loss tips we could run through in 3 seconds that everyone knows, like be in a calorie deficit, drink enough water, eat enough protein, eat less processed foods, mm-hmm. eat less food out, what, get enough sleep. These are like basics. Like most everyone kind of knows these things, and they're not like, maybe not being honest about where they're at on it, water being one, but anything processed, like that's the thing is like finding that right balance. So let's say this person really does eat out every morning, then they're probably feeling rushed.
Mm-hmm.
And so they think that this saves them time. Although I would challenge them to like actually make the sandwich at home, mm-hmm. and see, because probably by the time you get in the car, sit in the drive-thru, pay the people, get it handed to you and drive away,
you could have
thrown that in a container and taken it with you on the go too. Like you could have made it at home in 3 minutes. I mean, eggs cook pretty fast.
Right.
Made it at home and taken it with you. But it's the perception that it takes a long time.
Yeah. That and just laziness.
Yeah. I mean, I think so, but I feel like, cause like, even when it comes to like getting people to track, I get annoyed because I'm like, are you guys being lazy? But I think it's the perception. Like they haven't done
they
think it takes this long time, because it does take a long time for the first week or two.
Yeah.
While you're getting used to it. but like any new app in general takes a long time when you're getting used to it, right? You waste time. But so it's really about like, what do you want the reward to be? And the more that you do it, the easier it gets. Mm-hmm. I don't eat out really, but I'm not like a chef. Like I'm not making these great things. I found the really easy, lazy persons. Like I always say like, I don't cook more than 4 ingredients. So like if it's more than 4 ingredients, I'm done.
Did
like,
you used to watch that show 5 Ingredient?
No, I didn't even know that was a show.
It was on the Cooking Network. She did it 5 ingredients or less.
Take a recipe that sounds good and I will be like, okay, well, I'm going to do it, but without these things.
So no, you're not doing the recipe.
I have my own version of it, which I can then like, you know, take my credit for, inspired by this recipe. This is inspired by.
No, I gotcha. No, I know. And I say lazy, not in the sense like they're just lazy, don't do anything, but I guess lazy is the wrong word. It's more of a, people prefer just instant gratification.
Convenience.
They want it to be done already and don't want to take the time to do it, because this fat loss game, it's a long game. It's a long game. It's not the short game. Like you have to be patient. You have to stay consistent. You have to stay the course. And because you won, you have to track your macros.
But the thing too is that if you do it slowly and consistently, you actually are going to benefit, because those people are the ones who maintain it long term, right? Because it wasn't like an 8-week massive change, not livable for their life kind of thing. Like, you know, do you know VIP fitness?
I'm just gonna go back, because you said you gotta take it slowly. So basically I won, because I said one step at a time.
This is true. You did.
VIP fitness or nutrition?
I think they're fitness. I don't know. It's a place here that I hear about where people go and they lose a lot of weight, but they do like 2 workouts a day, 6 meals. You don't get any, like, I think it's like you get no red meat. You get like, I don't know, half a cup of carb a day. It's something not livable, but people lose tons of weight on it, obviously, because it's like, well, if you don't cheat and they like do a money investment thing. So if you do it and you follow it and you like succeed, you get most of your money back.
Hmm.
So
like a diet bet almost.
It's like, that, but it's a company. Yeah, they're popular here in Michigan. They're popular. But the point is like we could put anyone on that kind of diet, and if they actually stuck to it, they'd lose weight, right?
Well, yeah, because at any diet, every diet works.
Right.
Every diet works.
We can get like drastic, dramatic changes from that. But the thing is like those people always gain back weight. Like they become my clients because right. They're like, oh, well, and because I always ask when I'm starting with a client, like, what are your goals? But beyond that, like when they say weight loss, which is almost inevitable, I say, have you lost weight before? Because most people say to me, yeah, I did it like 19 times. Like I've lost this, I gained it, lost it, gained it, lost it, gained it. And I'm like, okay. And then I get a lot that I say like, well, what did you do recently? Or then they just start telling me, they're like, oh, well, I went to whatever, Weight Watchers, VIP, any of these things. And
yeah.
Like, I did this, but now I gain back the, like I gain, or they gain like, if they're lucky, they only gain back like 80% of the weight. Most of them gain it back plus some. Hmm. So then, it's because those programs are so strict.
I think that I agree. I think that they're strict. I think some are strict, but I also think that there's a lot of those programs, they do not teach the art of what you're eating. Like showing them what they're eating, how much they're eating, like portions, macros. Right. Like, because once you come out of it, so I don't know anything about any of Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig. All I know, Weight Watchers with the points, right? So you get all these points. I actually have 2 clients that are Weight Watchers, and we were just talking. I assumed, my fault, I just assumed that they knew about macros, assuming that Weight Watchers teaches, you know, about food, calories, macros. Apparently they do not.
No.
Because they were like, well, what's macros? And I was like, whoa, what? So here's the thing. And I get this. This is a business standpoint, and it's phenomenal. Let's just give them this app. Let's give them points or colors or whatever the hell that they use. And let's not teach them how to do this on their own. Because once they leave the program, now what? Right? Now what? Some, they, you know, a couple of them did say, you know, well, I know more about portions. Okay.
That's good.
That's great. But do you know roughly what the calories are in your portions? Right?
Right.
Because if the bottom line is to be in a deficit, yeah, you, that's great. You can do equal portion, like your palm size of carbs every single day, five times a day. But that portion has now probably exceeded what you're supposed to eat in calories. Make sense? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like after they come out, it's like, now what? What do I do? I know I have to do portions, but how many portions of what is going to keep me in a deficit?
Yeah, I mean, they don't need to know, learn how any of these programs, I agree. Although Weight Watchers, I think, does try to have them eat in the real world. It doesn't teach them really how to understand what they're eating, but it does at least sort of allow them to, which I think is why it's so popular. Yeah. It allows them to like have a glass of wine or eat chocolate or what, go out to dinner, right? Which these ones I'm talking about are really strict. Oh, Jenny Craig has all pre-made food, so you don't eat anything. I've done them all in my life.
Oh.
It's been like 20 years since I did Jenny Craig, but like Jenny Craig, you buy these little meals.
Yeah.
And then you only eat their little meal. You buy like fruits and vegetables to go along with it. Now it might have changed in 20 years would be my guess, but the premise is probably still the same because they make a ton of money off of you buying those little pre-done meals. But then like you're not learning how to cook for yourself or
right.
how to eat out or how to do any of these things. So the thing is that they don't learn, like you're saying, like, because this is like we're talking about with the long game. So mm-hmm. our tip would be, another tip would be, I think, like, think of this as for your lifetime. So when you're making the decisions, it's for your lifetime. So are you really going to ever go the rest of your life without a glass of wine?
Right.
I could. I don't care about drinking. So that's an easy one for me. If you said, like, you never get to drink a glass of wine again, I'd be like, cool. But if you said, like, you never get to have a slice of pizza again, I'd be like, forget it. Like, that's not going to happen. I already know right now, the second you say it, I'm going to eat pizza again. So I'm going to either one, feel guilty because I break my diet, or two, constantly be frustrated until I ultimately do break my diet, right? Whatever. So, I mean, I think that that's the thing, is like, if you commit to it and you believe that this is going to be something you're doing long-term. And I think people are scared of that because they think like, I'm going to be restricting forever. Yeah, kind of. You're going to be aware forever. That's actually true. Like if you have weight to lose and you want to get to a certain weight and maintain that, yes, you're going to be aware forever. It sucks. Like I feel like saying that, like, it's just like you lost that one where those like few people that don't have to pay attention, and they're very, very, very few, those people, especially women. If you want this, you will be aware of it forever. However, it will get easier and the choices will be different over time, and you'll have more leeway to do the things that you enjoy having as treats or whatever. But it's learning how to really do it, because what happens is people cut out everything. Like you said, they go like all in for January and they're like, I'm going to run 6 miles, and they like haven't run since high school and they're 50. And like, I'm going to run 6 miles and I'm going to lift weights 4 days a week, and I'm going to go to Zumba twice a week, and I'm going to never eat sugar, and I'm going to never have wine, and I'm going to have one treat thing once a week if they allow themselves that, right? Well, then ultimately, like, they can do that for a while, but they'll fail because then somebody's birthday will happen, or they'll be tired, or, you know, their knees are going to hurt because they haven't run in 30 years. You know, these things happen. So it's like being realistic and playing that long game and making the decisions, but also thinking about like what your real life in a year, or 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, what you think it would look like and you're willing to do. I can tell you right now, I'm not going to give up ever going out to eat. I don't go out that much, so it's not a huge thing, but I'm not going to give it up. Like, I like going when I go, or like I said, pizza or whatever. So it's being realistic about that and then learning how to eat within that. So that's where like Weight Watchers, I think that they can do that, but then they have to follow the points because they don't know how to do it on their own. Like, they'd have to be in Weight Watchers for all eternity to track points.
That's my point. It's like, I feel like
they get paid though. I mean, it's a business.
That's what I'm saying. And that's my point though. It's like, so, and I talked about this on one of my episodes beforehand, but it's like, so I picture like Weight Watchers and things like that to be like, it's like when you're in debt. So like your health, it's like a health savings account. So like with your money, you make deposits, you feel good, you're happy, you can see your account. You're like, right, I'm in the positive. When you make withdrawals, you start to get a little anxious, sad, because you're like, oh my God, my money's dwindling. And when you're in debt, you do drastic things to get the quickest results, right? To get the most money, right? You lie, cheat, steal. Maybe you go to a payday loan so you can just get money in your account real quick. But you go deeper and deeper in debt because you haven't really learned how to make those deposits the right way. Same thing with your health. So you make deposits, you exercise, you eat, you sleep, you drink water. Withdrawals, you drink too much, you're stressed out, you get depression, you know, overwhelm, anxiety. And when you go into your withdrawal and eventually go into debt, you find the next fad diet. You go because, you know, Becky Boo down the street said that's do Weight Watchers. So you go to Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, whatever, and you do it and it works, but you haven't, I just feel like you said, you have to be in there eternally because that's all you know points, you know portions, you know colors, you know the prepackaged meals. You don't right. know that a peanut is a fat, not a protein. You don't know, you know, how many, like it's 120 calories in a chicken breast and 22 to 24 grams of protein, right? You just know, oh, I'm just going to eat chicken. But if you're trying to be in a caloric deficit and understand calories, like I've never been in one, so I don't know, but they don't really teach you that. It's based off of their whatever.
Right.
So you have to stay with it. But then going back to your other point where you said, like we said, it's the long game. And that, yes, in the beginning, you have to be restrictive. And I do agree with that too. You have to restrict yourself for a point because, you know, no, I'm not saying you can never have pizza. You can never have the tacos, but restrictive in the sense of where, no, you really, if you want to do this and you're serious, no, you can't go out to Friday night, you know, pizza with the girls every Friday night like you used to.
And I think right? the point, oh, go ahead.
And it's like, so you kind of have to back off of that, which when you said that, it started making me think about, okay, so this flexible dieting thing, because in the same breath, you did say.
Oh, she's taking notes.
I did. it's my therapist side coming out at me today. you know, like if I eat this chocolate or I eat this pizza, I'm going to have guilt. I think flexible dieting, people don't really know what that means. Flexible dieting is, yes, you eat the 80-20, right? You're doing your 80% of all your whole balanced foods and 20% is having that pizza, chocolate, a glass of wine, but not feeling guilty about it. Because if right. you feel guilt behind being flexible, you're also, then you start to go back to being restrictive.
Right. You're not really flexible.
Right. So, I mean, I guess with like Weight Watchers, like you said, they have all this new shit now where it's, you can have the glass of wine and you can do all of this and be flexible. But I find, and it's only because of my clients, that yeah. when, because now working with me, taking a break from the Weight Watchers, that they feel bad or they're labeling food, even though they're still doing the same thing they were in Weight Watchers, but now they feel bad about it.
Right.
Like that flexibility is gone. So it's like, I feel like the different programs, different fat diets is like getting out of debt. It's that quick fix, but yet you're not really learning how to do this on your own and be flexible, which obvious reasons, because the program wants you to stay with them forever.
Right. I mean, it's a business and they want to earn money.
Right.
Where I think the point is good though about money, like using it as like a debt and thinking about that and like feeling guilty. Cause actually then this just came to me as a response to that. Maybe feeling some guilt is normal human response and okay. Because and that's a way to monitor ourselves. The difference is like, am I self-loathing? I'm sucked. I'm horrible. I'm a miserable person. Or am I just like, all right, that wasn't a choice I wanted to make for myself. My next choices will be better. Because let's say debt, right? Or let's not even say debt. Let's say you're saving for a house, right? You want to buy this house. Or you're saving for vacation, whatever it is that people want that they save for. Because this is common, right?
Right.
So let's say right now you're building your physique. That's your food goal, and your food and exercise goal is to get the physique that you want. So you're making an investment. Your choices that you're making are like little investments in getting that, ultimately that physique. You know, just like, you know, you're not going to buy the house or take the, like, you know, month trip to Rome tomorrow because you don't have the finances, but like every week, let's say you put away $50, or every paycheck you do something. And then you also, where do you get that $50 from? Well, maybe you decide like, I'm not going to spend as much doing this, or we're not going to go out to the movies as often, or I don't know, I'm going to cut Netflix back or something. When you make those little changes, that's like normal. We all accept it with money, but people don't want to accept that. People accept that they're going to have to budget with money long-term forever, right? Because the more money you make, the more there are things, or the more expensive your house is, or your car, or whatever, better your trips are. So it's the same with like your physique goals. You're just making these choices as investments in it. And so when you go out to pizza every week, let's say with your friends and have drinks, that's just not saving for the goal that you want. So you're not saving for the physique you want. And so you might feel a little bit guilty because you're not making the choices, but it's just like a bad temporary choice. So you start to make more choices getting you towards your goal, less that keep you away from it. Just like right now, if you have a lot of weight to lose, you have fat debt. That's all it is, right?
Right.
You've got a calorie debt, a fat debt, because you overspent. It's just like if you've got $20,000 in credit card debt right now,
right.
Have a financial debt, and you can choose to make minimum payments and stay there, and you can choose to make minimum choices for your weight loss and basically stay there, so at least you're not gaining, which is better than just like going in more debt, fat debt, whatever. Or you can choose to work an extra job or cut back on expenses or churn your car in for a cheaper car or whatever. These are ways you can cut your finances. So the same thing with your fat debt. You can choose to exercise more. You can choose to eat out less. You can choose to track your calories and get yourself, because at some point, just like if, I mean, I've paid off debt. Everyone's paid off a loan. We've all done these things. At some point, you get it paid off. Right? But when you first start with it, you're like, oh my God, this is a big loan and I'm going to be paying this forever. But then you hit that point where you're suddenly like, okay, look, I see it getting paid off. And then usually towards the end is when you're like, oh my God, I can't wait to get this paid off. I'm almost there. It's the same thing with your fat debt. Like in the beginning, it feels overwhelming. You're like, I owe $100,000 in fat, you know? it's always a choice. Like it's a choice, and it's a long-term choice too. Like if you're going to remain the rest of your life not in financial debt, you have to make the right financial decisions. If you're going to remain the rest of your life not in fat debt, you got to make the right decisions. Like that's all it is. It's really basic, you know.
Yeah.
Extra fat is just fat debt.
That's right. That's it. It's fat debt.
We'll be like, what's your fat debt?
That's the takeaway from today's topic.
Right.
Treat your body like a bank account.
Really? In the end.
It is. I truly believe that, because like you said, we've all been in financial struggle, ruins. We've come out of it. We love money. That's money is what people want to save for. And it's the same thing with our body. Like people that have physique goals, fat loss goals, weight loss goals, whatever. It's the same thing. You have to make the right deposits, make more deposits than withdrawals, right?
Right.
And if you're in debt, just keep making deposits.
And then you have to focus on that end goal. Like when you're saving for that trip, right? Or you're saving for the down payment for the house, you're motivated and because you want it, right? So you have to think about, so I do think it's good. I personally like it when people make a short-term goal and then the long-term goal and really think about, like, I always ask them, like, what's your dream? Like, be honest with me. What would your dream physique be? You know? And some people have very unhealthy ideas, but most people really don't. Most people, if they're honest, they're really like, it's not like people are saying to me, like they want to look like some celebrity. It's like they have a best version of themselves. And I think it's good to have that in mind. Just like if you're trying to save for your dream house, whatever, but maybe like your dream house is like three houses away in your lifetime. Like right now you got to just get like a tiny little 2-bedroom house. And then maybe you go up to 5-bedroom, whatever it is. I would never want a 5-bedroom house. That sounds like way too much cleaning, but you know, people want things like that.
Yeah.
Especially with you coming over judging my kitchen and bathroom.
I mean, I'm going to now.
I'll tell Mike to clean.
Yeah, there you go. And then I'll just judge Mike because he does the cleaning. So I'm like,
he does a very good job. There won't be.
Just kidding. Oh, God. No, that's very true. Very true. You have to make the small goals. That's why I said start small.
No, you're right.
Start small. Because if you, and I find that too, a lot of people, like you said, focus. You can have that big dream, but here's where I think a lot of people get kind of fucked up is because they see that big dream. They see that dream, physique, body, whatever it is that they have. And because that is so far away, that's when they start to go into debt because they like, okay, I've been making all these deposits, but I'm just not gonna ever get here, right? Because I'm only here. So now let's just go into debt and figure out if we can get there faster. But in actuality, so they go into debt, they do something stupid, right? Some new fad diet or lemon juice and cayenne pepper and think they're going to lose weight. Maybe they do, right? So then they get a little bit closer, but that's not sustainable anymore. So then they go back into debt and they're right back where they started from. So I like that. I do agree that people should have the big dream, but to have like
steps along the way,
realize that the steps are more important than the big dream. Like, hitting small goals are more important than that big dream, because if you hit those small goals at different points, it's going to lead to that big picture. And over time, sometimes your big picture fucking changes anyway, right? Right? You might think this is what you want, and then you make that small goal, and then you reach that small goal, and you're like, oh shit, right? Maybe this is where I want to stop, or maybe now it's totally different. So I think that the big goal is always good, but I like the smaller goals better, because if you are able to just, if you can see that, I think that people are more eager to work towards that.
I 100% agree. There's the Beachbody lady who neither of us are huge, huge fans of. However, she's sometimes, like all people, they have points that can be taken away that are really good. And she does like 2 pounds at a time down. That's her focus. Okay. I actually think that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Because then you're just focused on 2. And then when you get down 2, you focus on the next 2. And I think those little babies, just like when you're saving up for something, you wouldn't be like, oh my God, I got to get $100,000 now. You'd be like, okay, let me get to $100. Let me get to $1,000. Let me get to, you know. And then slowly they make that. So I 100% agree. I think like that 2 pounds down or whatever it is that the person wants. I think 2 pounds is actually pretty reasonable because it's so small and so achievable.
Is it 2 pounds and how long? Like, do you have like a month?
I think she just does it 2 pounds each time. So like, let's say you're 178 today. Your focus is on getting to 176. And when you get to, so you start at whatever your starting weight is my guess. I don't know. I didn't overanalyze it, but that's how I perceive it. And then
you did it?
Well, no, because let's say between 178 and 176, you hit 177. Now is your new two down 175. I think you're trying to celebrate mentally at each two. So let's say you start at 178, 176, you get there. Now you think about 174, you know. And I think that that is...
I'll have to research that more.
Yeah. I mean, however you want to state it, I actually think that I like that kind of concept, though, for people, like, instead of obsessing about...
But here's my beef about 2 pounds at a time. Because what if you are making all the fucking progress, but your weight doesn't change? Right? So, I mean, 2 pounds at a time versus, okay, you're at 178 and your jeans fit like shit, and in 2 weeks you're at 178, but now you've moved a belt loop.
Well, so, again, take whatever progress tracker you want.
I'm just saying, 2 pounds at a time is kind of like you're making people depend on that fucking scale. I'm just saying. Okay. I digress.
I understand. We could definitely another time talk about like weight measurement tools and which ones are worth using, because I think I see your point.
I digress.
I agree. This was just an example.
I know. I'm just saying.
Down into things.
I digress. Don't get me fired up on the scale and pounds.
On the scale.
Yeah. Because mine, you know, I could be easily upset that I was... What did I text you the other day? 170.2.
And right.
This morning, I'm up to 171.
It's Wookiees.
I have a Wookiee yesterday.
I think more that my point is that, actually, I think that's good. And we can have a whole conversation another time. About weight loss metrics and scale. And is it the best? And what do you use? And what are options? Then maybe next week. But I think like the takeaway from this is chunking it, making small goals, right? Yeah. And not trying to do everything at once. And that would be our like biggest tip, even over tracking.
Wow.
Well, you win. You were right though. Like if you're trying to make a difference in your, like it's taking it one small thing and then you get to celebrate that achievement, right? So if it's, yeah. I'm at 2,000 steps and I'm going to go up to 4,000, I can celebrate that. And now at 4,000, I'm going to go up and da 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 da, and you'll keep seeing.
Well, here's my thing too about chunking it down and taking, you know, small step thing and then versus macros, which I kind of think they go hand in hand. I feel like, first of all, it's just getting someone to recognize what they're eating food wise in their day. Like, right. Okay, I eat too much fast food. I'm going to cut that out. Or, you know, I have my desserts are just out of control. I'm going to cut that out. I'm going to get rid of my afternoon, you know, Wookiee and coffee caramel macchiato. Like, just understand, like, can we cut things back? Because realistically, if we're eating all that junk throughout the day, yeah, your calories are up there, even though people think, oh, I don't eat a lot, you know, 600 calories, maybe some people do. But if you can figure in all those words that I just said,
yeah,
you know, people's calories are higher than what they assume, right? Absolutely. So once you start taking those things out, like honestly being 100% taking those things out, cutting back on the bullshit, I think then tracking should come next, only because then you get a true sense of, okay, this is where we're at when we take out the crap.
Right.
So now that we see where we're at, now that we've, you know, slowly peeled back some foods, And we're going out to eat only now twice a week instead of this, that, and the other, after like a month or two, seeing where we're at macro wise, because then I think you get a bigger picture. Maybe this is a whole nother topic about where you actually need to be caloric wise to start getting right. Weight, as well as educating on the importance of protein.
Right.
And things like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole nother topic. Yeah. I mean, I think like, maybe like our takeaway from today then really is, don't freak out. and do everything at once, right?
Yeah.
But that are a helpful tool to begin when you're beginning the process is to really become aware of where you're at. So accountability to where you're at. Like, where am I right now as far as how much I'm exercising, how much I'm walking, how much water, how much sleep, how many calories, whether that's just tracking basic, not for change, but just to see where you're at, you know, really kind of like taking, like, you know, inventory of all these factors and looking at it and then starting to make your changes from there and then making them small changes.
Yeah.
You know, not like if I take inventory and I drink one glass of water a day, I'm not going to be at 100 ounces, right? I'm going to be at 30 maybe if I'm good, you know, if I'm able to like throw that in.
Yeah.
We could do a whole thing on water. My God. But anyway.
So many topics.
I know, right? We're just generating.
We're just squirreling around. No, I agree. Starting small, macro tracking. Remember, this is a long game. And and that's cool. That's it. Anywho, all right. Well, let's end this podcast.
All righty.
All right. So
for your like 17 listeners, can they message you questions?
Yeah, they can. So we actually would like to know what your takeaway is and what, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can email.
Concerns about this woman's shower.
Yeah, concerns about this woman's shower. I want to know personally how many of you out there clean your showers and bathrooms. I would be interested to know that. You can email me at erinaverifitness@gmail.com. Where can people stalk you?
Well, I'm on Instagram at Heather Hayen, H-A-Y-E-N, fit. You can message me there. I read my DMs, usually.
Slide into her DMs.
Yes, slide into my DMs. Ask me about if Erin's shower is really clean. I don't know. I've yet to see it.
She's yet to come to my place. I will say this, as I know you have to go to the bathroom.
Thanks.
My fucking kitchen sink is getting done today.
Yay! Because cleaning your dishes in your bathroom sink is disgusting.
It's disgusting, and the kitchen sink and the tub are not where your dishes are supposed to be cleaned. And everything that I did clean, because it's like only 5 things, it's going into the dishwasher so I can sanitize because I feel dirty about it. I don't know.
Right. Email
you guys.
Message us.
Message us. Share this with friends, family, if you got any type of value from this, probably. I mean, I know you did.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. There is no me without you, so I'm forever grateful. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on your social media and use the hashtag #TranscendYourHealth so I can find you and give you some love. Also, before I go, make sure you have subscribed to my weekly newsletter where you will become one of my VIPs and get the inside scoop and early access to all things health and fitness that I have to share. Just go to my website, erinaverifitness.com, to subscribe. Thanks, and I'll see you on the inside.